Good afternoon and welcome to On the Docket. I'm your host, Patricia Salkin, Dean of Touro Law Center in Central Islip. And every Sunday at this time, we talk about current legal issues and how they affect you. Today on the docket, we're talking about a recent court decision involving housing in Garden City. This case discusses evidence of racial discrimination by the Village of Garden City involving alleged rezoning of land to block any chance of affordable housing, which likely would have housed minorities. To give us more details on this case, joining us today, we have Fred Brewington. Fred is admitted to the bars of the states of New York and New Jersey, as well as the United States Supreme Court. Mr. Brewington is a respected lawyer and community advocate with a distinguished legal career. His practice focuses on issues including affordable housing, community revitalization efforts, employment and civil rights, the environment, and especially voting rights and fair representation in government. He's received countless honors and awards, including being named by Long Island Press as one of the top 50 most powerful people in Long Island a total of three times. Fred is also an adjunct professor of law at Touro Law Center, where he's also a member of our Board of Governors. Welcome to the show, Fred.
Thank you very much, Dean. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
So can you tell us what was going on in this case?
Well, sure. I mean, many people on Long Island and New York, and in fact across the country, are aware of the community of Garden City. It is a village within Nassau County. And Garden City, for the longest time, has been considered to be affluent and rather restrictive in terms of those folks that live there. In about 2004 and going into 2005, there came before the Garden City trustees the question of whether or not they were going to be building housing in the form of apartments in the Garden City area. And one of the subject areas that was then up for discussion was the old social services site, which is now actually under construction in Nassau County. That's right between Supreme Court Drive and the county court seat right there in Garden City. And the issue came up that, indeed, it was going to be essentially available for the building of homes that included apartments. And one of the questions that its own expert came up with was making the homes, at least a good number of them, affordable. Now, we're not talking about low-income housing. We're talking about affordable housing so that young people that want to reside in Nassau County or in Garden City would have the ability to be able to purchase homes even though they're not making astronomical income, or a family of four living on income of about $75,000 to $80,000 might be able to purchase a home in a community such as Garden City where there are good schools and good opportunities. Well, after this expert made this recommendation and it was just about approved, the trustees, after listening to members of the community and asking questions of whether or not this was going to allow for quote, affordable housing, and code words we used, decided to change the entire zoning process. And the case then turned into a clear indication that they were zoning to prevent certain people from having access to housing in Garden City that just happened to be persons that they believed would be African-American and Hispanic and individuals from an income level not similar to those that made up the community. That case was brought to the federal court in about 2005, and after years of litigation and discovery, ended up going to trial before the Honorable Arthur D. Spatt, federal judge in the Eastern District. After a long trial with a lot of information, documents, expert testimony, and evidence, Judge Spatt ruled that, in essence, Garden City had intentionally discriminated on several levels. We can talk about that in a second. To prevent individuals who are African-American, Hispanic, from moving into Garden City by putting up this zoning law that was intentional to discriminate.
And so lots of different legal theories out there and choices, because you brought this case in federal court, and I know that there were good legal reasons to do that, but of course even basic at the state level, exclusionary zoning is discriminatory and illegal. But let's start first with the plaintiffs. I mean, who did you bring this case on behalf of?
Well, we brought the case on behalf of several individuals when we first started, and you should realize that the case had to change because it had a long life. Eventually, the case turned into one that was where the plaintiffs were two organizations, that being Mahaney Management, Inc., which is a arm and branch working along with New York Communities for Change. Many people may know New York Communities for Change as a number of people that assisted in the de Blasio campaign and assisted in his reelection. And the initial organization was the Acorn Organization, which became defunct, and then they were replaced as plaintiffs by New York Communities for Change. We also had individuals that were part of this lawsuit, and unfortunately, one of them passed away, and we had to drop him from the name of the lawsuit. But it was the organizations and its members who are residents and were residents in Long Island, particularly bordering communities such as Hempstead and Uniondale to Garden City, that stood as the plaintiffs.
And so lots of people out there obviously impacted by the village's actions, the city's actions, and also by the outcome of the case. Can you just talk about the legal theory?
Well, sure. Well, the case was brought under different laws, and you mentioned the decision to bring it in federal court. It was brought in federal court for a number of reasons. One, because of the complexities of the federal laws that prohibit this type of zoning and this type of discrimination. It was brought under the Fair Housing Act, which many people may be aware of, and that was one of the important aspects that we thought needed to be brought. But it was also brought under civil rights laws that, as we celebrate the Civil Rights Act of 1964, civil rights sections, Section 1981, 42 United States Code, Section 1981 and Section 1983, and in particular, the Constitution of the United States, the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. And it was based on those theories of discrimination, disparate treatment, and disparate impact that we went forward. And those concepts are ones which are very important as we look at how we deal with questions of discrimination in modern-day America.
And so I want to go back to something that you talked about in the facts with respect to affordability and the Garden City's own consultant talking about affordability here. You know, is there a magic number as to what is and is not affordable? What kind of demographic data did you have to come forward with?
Well, we did come forward with an expert, the information that our expert testified to was largely unopposed. But when you start dealing with, the issue of affordability, it's not a constant number because it starts to deal with get very complex when you're starting to evaluate what you're dealing with regard to the cost of living in the area, what the annual salaries may or may not be of persons that may be seeking the housing, and the cost of the housing itself. So, it was important for us to look at this because when we looked at Garden City, we knew that Garden City, which is 5.3 square miles in size, had single-family homes of about 6,845, condominiums of 410, and apartments or co-ops of 691. So the type of housing that might be otherwise affordable was it's small by comparison and available to individuals that might otherwise want to live in Garden City who may actually be working in Garden City.
Right, so examining the available housing stock was one of the important strategies that you had to employ.
That was, and there were others. I mean, obviously, we had to look at the fabric of what was going on in Garden City and what type of things were really being discussed that raised the issue of whether or not this was discriminatory or not. And we learned that there were board meetings where the conversation was clear that it was to try, what was being done was to make sure that certain people did not move into Garden City. There were actions taken with regard to parks that were tested as to whether or not individuals who happened to be African-American young people were treated differently than white young people when they went to a park, for instance. There were questions with regard to, which were raised and became part of the discussion in the case, particularly in the discovery, about what real estate agents were doing and not doing in Garden City that became part of the fabric of what was going on there, such so that an environment of discrimination was one that would dare to raise its head. And clearly that was part of the proof that helped Judge Spat make the determination that indeed there was discrimination and that it was intentional.
So when we come back, Fred, I'd like to pick up by talking with you about board members' intentions and statements made by members of the public and exactly how that plays out in court. I want to thank you for being with us for the first half, and please, again, stay with us because we're going to be talking more about this important case when we return from the break. You are listening to On the Docket with Toro Law Dean Patricia Salkin on Long Island News 103.9. Welcome back to On the Docket. We're joined by Fred Brewington, a civil rights attorney here on Long Island, and we're talking about the recent Federal Fair Housing Act case involving Garden City. So, Fred, I want to pick up where we left off. You know, all too often in these land use and zoning cases and housing cases around the country, still, unfortunately, 50 years later, we are finding instances of board members talking about not wanting certain people to live in their community and members of the public saying that they don't want certain people to live in their community. We see this based on religion. We see this based on race. We see this based on socioeconomic status. And I'm not sure that members of the public even understand that by coming out and saying these things to the board's not allowed to consider it. And petitions and other kinds of things, it's really just hatred in the community.
Well, you know, what we had in this case particularly is something that does happen in other communities, but fortunately for the plaintiffs in this situation, Garden City just got caught. Far too often there, the documentation is not there. You know, we have, for instance, in this case, there was a notice placed in the Garden City News on October 17th, 2003, that was entitled, "Tell them what you think about the county's plan for Garden City." Now, this was with regard to a piece of property that was attempting to be sold by the county, and that this was a social services site that may very well have been utilized for building apartments, which would include affordable housing. But in that notice, it says, "Where's the benefit for Garden City? Are we being urbanized?" And there's a code word. I mean, courts recognize when you're talking about being urbanized, you're not just talking about becoming sophisticated. You're talking about certain individuals moving into the community. It goes on to say, "The county is asking the village to change our existing zoning to allow the county to sell the building and land now occupied by the social services building to private developers. Among the proposed plans, low density," and then it says high-rise housing, up to 311 apartments. Well, it turned out that part of that was scare tactic, because trying to talk about low density and dealing with the types of apartments that were being built, they were not dealing with that type of suggested construction. And we had to go through. There were flyers that were being passed out by individuals who were in the neighborhood, basically raising questions that showed some very ugly aspects of what neighbors were saying to each other about the possibility that individuals that didn't necessarily look like them might be able to move into the community.
So do you think that the community can learn from the decision and move forward?
Well, one of the things that's got to be very clear, not every person in Garden City thought this way, is thinking this way, or acts this way. And oftentimes it's not the majority, it's very few, but the very vocal few end up making major changes in the community that affects everybody, not only the people that are there, but the people that they don't have contact with. Many people understand that we are a diverse country and a diverse world. And as a diverse world, we get benefits from being in contact with each other and working and living and raising our children and educating our children together. And the whole issue of dealing with the question of segregation, no matter what name you give it, is not helpful to the society that we have, where we are all looking for some of the very basic same things, you know, good housing, good schools for our children, the opportunity to play in a yard, and the opportunity to feel comfortable in a community where everybody is pulling in the same direction, not aiming their sights at somebody and making them the enemy.
So you're right, and this was a great victory for the residents of the village of Garden City, but on a previous show, we had Elaine Gross from Erase Racism talking about segregation issues in public school and talking about housing as well, and clearly Garden City is not the only municipality on Long Island where these kinds of housing decisions are occurring. Do you think this case is a wake-up call to other municipalities on the island?
No, it's not a wake-up call, Dean Salkin. It's a clarion bell. It stands to let folks know that you just can't do these type of things anymore and expect to get away with it. I mean, the flyer that I mentioned to you before, it said on its face, will Garden City property values decrease if over 300 apartments are built at the site of the social services building? And then it launched into a whole diatribe about if a certain bill that was in the Senate was allowed to pass, how that would allow for these apartments to be built that would just basically ghettoize the Garden City community. That type of scare tactics is not appropriate. And that flyer ended with these words, that Nassau-Suffolk Primary Metropolitan Statistical Area as defined by the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, and they were talking about medium income, and then they end with these words, not just Garden City incomes. So clearly the focus was on dealing with Garden City to make it exclusive, not inclusive.
Right. And in this clarion message, I think that communities across Long Island should know that there are organizations and there are civil rights attorneys that are more than willing to bring these cases to bear through the court system if communities don't do the right thing. And I'm just curious, maybe you could tell our listeners. So Judge Spad issues the decision. He finds that there was discrimination. Now what?
Well, his decision was issued on December 6, 2013. Thereafter, he had to issue a judgment which outlined exactly how the remedy would be dealt with. And the remedy here is requiring Garden City to have a monitoring agent to be in-house to make sure that the fair housing laws are going to be followed from now on in Garden City, to make sure that if indeed there is new construction or done in Garden City, residential in nature, that aspects of affordable housing are going to be made sure to be included. That in this situation, with regard to the work that is done by the trustees, the training which must take place as to not only the trustees but other members of its governmental background and entity that do this type of work. But more importantly, I think one of the things that's really important is understanding that even though Garden City is currently appealing this decision, that the cost of this litigation to Garden City, and you know, not only was I one of the attorneys, but the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under the law, and a wonderful partner from the large firm community, Hogan Laval US LLP, served as the counsel in this case. And with their help and their resources, we were able to make sure that the truth of this situation was made clear in the court of law, and it was done properly. We're not talking about people just having a discussion at a cocktail party. We're talking about the facts. And when you deal with a court of law and you present the facts and you have the opportunity to object to those facts, that's where we get things done in a way where it becomes important as to the process and not only the outcome. Garden City had an opportunity to deal with this early on. They chose to be resistant to it, and that's why the trial took place.
Yeah, you know, and it's sad because it's a cost that all of the taxpayers are going to bear, not just the ongoing litigation costs, but should the appeal be unsuccessful, of course, there'll be other fees and fines that are associated with this.
Potentially, that is correct.
And again, I can't speak to the specifics of Garden City, but from my own experience in upstate New York, there are lots of political officials that have been on the losing side of Fair Housing Act cases that when I've spoken to them afterwards and said, so, you know, now that you know what you know, would you do anything different? And unfortunately, the answer always was, well, I'm just representing the constituents. I'd rather let a judge or a court tell us that we can't do it rather than me tell the constituents that. And quite frankly, that's a really expensive cop-out, and I don't think that that's the kind of public officials that we ought to be putting into office.
Right. Well, I agree with that. And more than being expensive, it's something that's detrimental to our growth, because if we keep fighting the same battles over and over, we keep opening the same wounds.
So, excellent. Well, I'm seeing that time is running out, and that wraps it up for us here on the docket today. Fred Brewington, I want to thank you for joining us and for explaining this complex federal litigation coming out of the village of Garden City involving fair housing and fair housing for all. I want to thank all of you out there for listening, and please don't forget to join us again next week for On the Docket. The show airs every Sunday at 4:30 on Long Island News 103.9. I'm Patricia Salkin, Dean of Touro Law Center. Have a great week.